You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Saturday, Destiny Church held a protest in the Auckland CBD under the slogan, "No Immigration Without Assimilation," denouncing non-Christian religions and other groups in Aotearoa. The demonstration, which Destiny Church leader Brian Tamaki described as a lawful, peaceful protest, involved the destruction and burning of flags, including the Palestinian flag and the Rainbow Pride flag. Leaders from a collection of ethnic community groups have called for the toughening of hate speech laws in response to the intolerance displayed at this protest action, which political figures like Deputy Prime Minister David Seymour and Police Minister Mark Mitchell condemned as un-Kiwi and vile rhetoric and behaviour. Seeking to dive deeper into the issue of extremism and hostility towards diverse cultures in New Zealand, I spoke with far-right and alt-right extremism expert Byron Clark about the protest and the existence of these groups in Aotearoa. I began the interview by asking him to explain the kind of ideologies that were on display at the protest.
Well, primarily the ideology we were seeing there was the particular brand of Christian nationalism Brian Tamaki and Destiny Church are pushing, this idea that New Zealand is an inherently Christian nation. We're sort of claiming this was an official religion, which is not really the case. Also, we were seeing things coming in from different conspiracy theory movements, like in addition to burning the flags of other religions and ethnic groups, references to the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum burned, as well as the media. So it was bringing in a whole lot of these conspiratorial ideas that we saw during the pandemic. Yeah, giving them a bit more oxygen, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about this burning and destruction of the flags that happened. That was quite a significant part of it. What kind of message is being sent by this action and by, I suppose, describing other religions or non-Christian religions as satanic?
Yeah, well, it's a real othering, isn't it, of these minority groups that we have here in Aotearoa, pushing this idea that these groups are not welcome, or that they're not part of New Zealand the same way that, say, Destiny and Christianity are. So it's really pushing that kind of, xenophobic attitude.
What ways do you think that recent anti-immigration riots witnessed in the UK and the agenda of anti-immigration rhetoric enforced by the Trump administration in the US have influenced extremist views and behaviour in Aotearoa?
Definitely having an influence. I mean, you can see Brian Tamaki very much trying to piggyback on some of that anti-immigrant sentiment overseas. I mean, you've made a reference to a protest in the UK with Tommy Robinson, who's this anti-Islam campaigner over there. So by referencing that, made it clear that he sees his movement as kind of part of this global movement of, ironically, a global movement of nationalism.
Since writing your book Fear on the Hostile Underworld of Extremists in New Zealand more than 2 years ago, have you observed any noteworthy changes or evolutions in the way that extremism has been taking shape in this country?
Yeah, I'd say that some of the more obviously extreme manifestations of it are less visible now, like some of the overt sort of white supremacy and that sort of thing. You don't see so much of that, but you do see a lot of attempts to take some of these ideas more into the mainstream. And I think we see that a little bit with some of the things that New Zealand First is pushing around, like access to bathrooms and things like that, sort of piggybacking on some of this transphobia that's out there. And even David Seymour, to a certain extent, with his talk of derangement syndrome and attacking his critics like that, that was sort of a tactic that I more saw from the fringes a couple of years ago and is now edged a bit closer to the mainstream. And I think with Destiny Church and this protest, it's a little bit testing the limits. I think, as others have pointed out, the inaction from our current government on things like the recommendations of the Royal Commission report into the Christchurch mosque shooting has sort of given these groups a bit of a message that, yeah, you can be pushing this kind of hateful ideology publicly in a very theatrical way, like with the flag burnings and so on, and there's not really going to be any consequences for you for doing that. So I think that possibly this event that we've seen from Destiny Church will give them a bit of an in for them to do more actions like this, and potentially for others too as well, as they see the lack of consequences for doing so.
Can you speak a little bit about how disinformation in both the mainstream space and in these more fringe communities contributes to the kind of intolerance that we've seen at this kind of protest and at others in previous times?
Yeah, well, disinformation continues to be a problem. I think possibly even more so than when I was writing my book, because we've seen sort of changes, political changes since then, and a lot of the social media companies have kind of followed those. So, of course, now Twitter's a very different place now that Elon Musk has taken over, but even Meta's platforms like Facebook and Instagram, they're being least diligent on enforcing policies around misinformation and hatred and so on. And again, the way that we see some of these things in the mainstream, like if you look at the disinformation campaign against Benjamin Doyle that was started on the political fringes but was pushed by Winston Peters at the time, was Deputy Prime Minister, you can kind of see how those things are influencing people like the ones who attended this Destiny Church event, if they're exposed to this disinformation about the queer community or disinformation about migrant groups or other religious groups.
Do you think the government is paying enough attention to the way in which social media and other forums like this help generate these kinds of communities or factions of extremism in New Zealand?
I think, you know, a few people in government or close to government are paying attention to it and perhaps seeing it as a way that they could use it for their own ends. I think, you know, some of the tactics are being replicated now by more mainstream politicians. They're realising that they can, you know, incite hostile feelings against people by through the use of social media. In terms of whether the government, though, is looking at the potential dangers from social media, I think they've kind of dropped the ball on that. I think there was a bit of effort after the Royal Commission report to look at these issues, and I think now that political space isn't there anymore. We've kind of turned it's turned into a very different argument where people are making this sort of argument about, you know, free speech versus censorship, which is never really what it was about. But that's made it a more difficult space to, I think, have some of those discussions about the role of social media misinformation and disinformation.
What would be your recommendations for how the government should be responding to these demonstrations of extremism which do threaten the safety of targeted groups?
I mean, we've seen condemnation of this from people in government and from, you know, I think the Human Rights Commission maybe. But we've seen some condemnation, which is good, but I think this issue is not going to go away unless there's some kind of consequence for this incitement of hostility. I think if things like this were to continue, it increases the likelihood of violence occurring against someone who's in one of these groups. And if that were to happen, right now, I don't think there's really a way to hold accountable people like, you know, Brian Tamaki for inciting this.
Do you think there should be?
I think there should be, yeah. I think he bears some responsibility. If you're going to be not just on social media, but also, you know, out in big public demonstrations, inciting hostility towards ethnic groups, religious groups, LGBT groups, etc. If violence then has happened, I think you bear some of the responsibility for that, and there should be some kind of consequence for that. And I guess there's a wider debate to be had as to what those consequences should be and how severe they should be and what the threshold should be for incitement. But we're not really having those conversations anymore the way that we were, you know, 5 years ago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.